Romans chapter 4. Everybody knows the story of Abraham and the promises that God made to him. What a great patriarch of the Bible, Abraham. What faith Abraham had. I'm going to start reading verse number 17. Just read a few verses. The Bible said, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith." Boy, don't you wish that you and I could have that kind of testimony? Wow. Wouldn't it be, I believe it would be giving glory to God if somebody said that about me and you. They were not weak in the faith. I've met some people that I'd say they were not weak in the faith. Paul Cornett, an old man of God, Sister Lula, husband and wife that were not weak in the faith, didn't really have nothing but give his life and his heart to God. Just an old drunk off the streets of Atlanta, Georgia. I couldn't tell how many times I've heard him say that, Brother Dan. First time I got the pleasure of knowing his, meeting his wife, the Don Crider's camp meeting. And it got about chin deep in glory. Oh, we used to have some meetings over there. I miss them Holy Ghost meetings like that, where God would show up and the breeze of heaven would blow. I miss that. I'm wanting it. I'm desiring it. I want to see God, get to be God again. Down in the church house where He's wanted. The people of God rejoice over Him coming by. I love to see visitors come by, but can I tell you, there's nothing as sweet and there's nothing as precious as the presence of God in the house of God. Folks are shouting and folks singing, and by that time, all we got to hear somebody a squealing and a shouting, and you couldn't even hardly look. I looked to the left and I seen a shoe flying through there. What would it take to get us that we didn't care what nobody thought no more? He said, "I don't care what nobody thinks about me." Well, shout a little bit then. Say it'd be in the flesh. I don't care. Don't worry about it getting out of hand. There's enough old wet blankets in here to put that fire out. Huh? Old sisters literally got to shouting and headed down the highway. And it took Brother Paul just a minute or two to get turned around off that front road, but he recognized that voice. Boy, he heard her shouting and he got to shouting. Brother Don said he went by there one day and knocked on the door, and he come to the door and said, "Brother Paul's standing there with his Bible in his hand." I'm talking about some old saints of God that had faith. Said he was standing there. He said, "Paul, what's going on?" Said he's a weeping. He said, "Me and Sister Lulu have been back there reading the Bible." He said, "You could hear in the back shouting back there by ourselves. You shout by yourself, something might be pretty real. I'd rather shout by myself than I would at church house. Y'all think I'm crazy when I go shouting. The Lord ain't never tried to convict me over that. Amen. Where was I at? According to that. According to something I'm seeing according. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't even entertain that idea. He didn't think about it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Wow. Do you understand what that verse is saying? His unbelief didn't make him doubt. You know the story. God promised them to have a son, and the Bible said she's past her time. And God said it, and Abraham said, well, amen, Lord, that's good. He didn't say, come on now. Come on. Come on. Do you know Sarah, my wife? God, do you know how old she is? And I mean, things has happened that just, this ain't possible no more. I better say amen, Lord. But couldn't get back. Wait to get back in there and tell her. Hey, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now here's my verse. I'm going to read it. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You talking about a patriarch that we look at because of his great faith, because he didn't stagger, because he was fully persuaded. We look at Abraham. You say, but you know what he did? Yeah, tell me what you've done. Tell me what you thought that wasn't right. Tell me what entered into your heart that made you guilty already. I'd say Abraham's a pretty good patriarch we look at, don't you? Amen. Pray for me, brother. Oh, God. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Thank you, Brother Bradley. The Bible says this, the Holy Ghost of God told the Apostle Paul, write this down. So where did you get all that from? Out of the book of Peter? The Bible says that holy men of old was inspired. They was given inspiration to write as the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost says, Peter, says Paul, write this. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I believe this today. I believe in the church hour we're living in, we're filled with people that are not persuaded anymore. It's the sad hour that we live in that we have to live on so many memories. But if that's what we got, thank God for them. Probably every one of us can go back to a specific service somewhere and enjoy the goodness and presence of God in our mind. Maybe not literally be there, but in our mind as we look over our memory. And think about how God made promises of meeting with us and walking among the church like He does and help us. And as I look back, David, on those days like that, I think about that only persuades me more. Once in a while, I like to watch these men that's lifting weights, lifting this enormous amount of weight. And I've seen some of them where they are. They'll reach down and pick up them barbells, and that thing will weigh 300 or 400 pounds. And it ain't nothing. They're just getting started. And they'll add weights to it. And I was watching one day deadlift about 900 pounds. And I'm thinking, how is that possible? I've seen them lay on them benches, and they're doing the weight back and forth. And I mean an astronomical amount of weight. You're thinking, if they turned it loose over me, it would chop my head off when it come across my throat. Spit my head out the end over there. But these men kids are so strong. I've noticed something, Brother Jeff. I've noticed something every time there's somebody doing stuff like that. There's people cheering them on. Have you ever noticed it? When you was in school, if you ever done that kind of stuff, and maybe brother's doing that stuff, and to working for, you know, to get stronger for the team, and you need that. You need that. I don't need that. Heaviest thing I want to pick up is a fork and a knife. Amen. And I want it loaded. I mean, I want a loaded fork, okay? So I ain't a wimp, okay? I want it. I want a piece of beef on it. Pork, chicken, whatever. But I noticed, Brother Andrew, these people cheering them on and egging them on and telling them, you can do it. I bet you've heard them say that before. You can do it. Go ahead. Push. You can do it. And they just try that much harder. Trembling, maybe. They do it. Because somebody was helping them to be persuaded. We need help in the persuasion part of our Christian life. Young couples get married in the hour we live in. And usually when they get married, they set their mind, we're not going to have any children for 1 year or 2 years or 5 years or whatever it is. Men of faith didn't think like that. And we got married in January, and Kristen was born in December. And they was a full 9 months in there, so don't get nervous, okay? Sometimes people go, I've seen them do that and think, well, I can tell you what I thought. But I'm saying that that young couple will get married and maybe want to wait a little bit. But that mama, that the in-laws and the mama, they said, well, I sure be glad you'll give us some grandchildren. Give us some grandchildren. We felt like that in the beginning. We wanted some grandchildren. I know it's against the law, but I'm thinking about go over there across the road in the church and stealing that stop sign. Now, every one of them is precious. Every one of them is precious. Every one of them is so different. Everyone got their own character. Everyone's different. The Bible said that he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That tells me that there was room for a lot of doubt in the minds of some people. But number one, whether he would uphold his promise. And number two, whether he was really capable of performing such a feat. But Abraham was fully persuaded. And if there's one thing that you and I as Christians should be, is fully persuaded that he which hath begun a good work in us, in you, shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. It might not seem like sometimes you and I will get tired along the way. We'll say, I need a rest. We was talking about taking a nap this morning. Brother Leroy said, my doctor told me I told to take a nap every day. I didn't say it out loud to him, but I'm thinking, I want his doctor. I'm changing doctors. I want to go see your doctor. Do what the doctor said. I got to take a nap every day. Well, I don't have a doctor to tell me that, but I got to where I kind of like to do it. And I don't know why this time, this trip has been my worst trip of getting back on sleeping schedule. It's been my hardest. It's the third trip to Africa, and it's been the hardest to get back on schedule. And it's kind of strange. And I mean, you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and of course, I probably don't have to go to sleep at 6 o'clock at night, you know. But I mean, the only way I can't go to sleep at 6 o'clock at night is just stand in the corner somewhere over there, something. Act like a horse and just don't lay down no more. But God has worked this through me, and I'm getting back on track, and I'm able to rest now. And I knew I would, Brother Darnell. I just knew it'd take a little while. Abraham was persuaded of the promises of God, and he was persuaded of the capacity of God. We look at folk when they get saved and we say, I don't know if he'll ever do anything or not. Well, why don't you just leave him alone and let God do it? I see people get saved and they might not move as fast as someone else that got saved, but if we'll leave them alone and encourage them and encourage them to do it, go ahead, you can do it. You can do it. One of the worst things that I hate to see out of folk, and for some reason, if they might get to where they missed in church a little bit, when they come back, people they don't go to them and say, "Boy, sure it's good to see you this morning. Thank you for being here." They'll say, "Where you been?" Kind of puts them on the spot. You know what I'm saying? Awkward to them. I don't care where they've been. I'm glad where they are. They might have been going through something that you and I couldn't have handled. They might have been fighting an enemy. They might have been fighting the devil. They might have been fighting the family. They might have had to work. Yeah. But thank God they're at the house of God again. Yeah. I say, just bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. Just thank God. Thank God for what the Lord has done for them. Amen. Being fully persuaded gives you a confidence. I've never been one, you would never guess this by looking at my physique, but I've never been one that wanted to work with them barbells. Never been. I've got some at the house. They don't belong to me. They go in and I've already scrapped them. Jared kept saying, Dad, why don't you throw them in the scrap pile? I said, well, son, somebody might want them. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's me. I want them. For scrap. Amen. Chris Perdue's rubbed off on me. And I just get rid of that stuff. I don't want it. Say, don't you like when we get stronger? Not now. I'm looking for a soft place to sit. I'm looking for relaxation so much, the last recliner that I bought has a power motor in it. I don't even have to push back on it, Sister Queen. I match a button and my feet just felt something right there, didn't you, Sister Carol? He said, being fully persuaded. You know, a lot of folks say, you can't live a Christian life in the hour we live in. You can if you're persuaded, you can. I've had people tell me, said, there's no way. I've looked for a wife and I can't find a wife. There ain't one out there for somebody like me. If you was persuaded that you'd be a good Christian husband. Anyway, Brother Darnell, let's go back to the Scripture. Look over in chapter 8. We could talk about being persuaded about living a Christian life and walking a Christian walk. We could be persuaded about serving the Lord together. We could be persuaded about going through storms and trials and tribulations. But we need to be persuaded that God's going to ever be present. There's a lot of things that can happen to my life and happen to your life that'll just throw everything that we've got out of whack. And you know, a lot of times I pray for all these young people in here, and I pray for them that God will keep them safe and that God will keep them in the house of God. Because I know how the devil wants them. But for all them that's here, I'm just thankful that they're here. Thankful that they're in church. Sunday morning. Have y'all ever noticed this? Is it just me? Have you ever noticed that our young people come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night? And Wednesday night? I'm thankful for that. I appreciate that. I'm persuaded that somebody somewhere along the way is pushing a little harder. I know in the flesh. I know in the flesh that some girl going to come along and say, if a girl winks at you like this here, I'd probably pass her on by. She might chew red, man. I don't know. I'd leave her alone, Brother Leroy. A preacher friend of mine, he's dead and in heaven now, I hope. And Richard Dyke said, he said, I get to heaven and find out that we couldn't chew red man. He said, I'm going to be so upset. He wasn't married. Y'all remember Brother Richard? Brother Richard said, he said, my idea of a perfect woman would be one and two red men. Good Bible word right here. Contrawise. I don't want that. I want no girl with something brown running down off her chin. Amen. The problem that you and I as Christians face in this hour is the confidence that Christ will do what He said He would do. The devil throws that. Yay! Hath God said it? And what He said to Eve? He started out with doubt. The first conversation that he had with somebody, he threw doubt in their mind. He took their confidence away. They was not fully persuaded no more. And the devil can do that to me and you. But I'm here to tell you, you can trust the Lord. You can have confidence in what He said. Verse number, chapter 8 and verse 35, the Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's an open question. He said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I mean, he's trying to name everything that covers everything. Have you ever noticed that sometimes in the Scripture, whenever there's a situation given like this, that there's words that will be used that mean the same thing as the word they just used? You ever notice that? You looked them up, and it meant the same thing as the word that was just used. So that we'll understand that He means everything. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm going to pause right here because I want to encourage you something. I want to try to build you confidence in something. I want you to be fully persuaded in something. You're more than conquerors. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. Now, when you think about something being more than a conqueror, it's a lot better understanding, a lot easier to understand if you can look at somebody that liked to conquer. I just happened to think of somebody. There was a Philistine. And all he ever wanted to do was just conquer. I mean, all he ever wanted to do was just be a bully. He was so much bigger. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Oh, Goliath, he was just, so much bigger than everybody. So much stronger than everybody. So much louder than everybody. You know what he liked to do? He liked to conquer. He liked to hurt people. I don't want to conquer you. I don't want you conquering me. There's something wrong with your heart if you want to. Amen? But he was a conqueror. But there was one that he tried to conquer that came to him in the name of the Lord. You try to conquer somebody that's going to stand up and say, thus say the Bible. Wait a minute now, what does the Bible say about this? Well, I know what you're trying to tell me about, but the Bible says it's hard to conquer them. Best thing to do is just go about your business, going down there to Wendy's and get you frosty. Leave them alone. Amen. Chocolate. And fries. Wow. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He states that the conquerors that we are is able to stand against all the tribulation, the distress, the persecution, the famine, the nakedness, the peril, and the sword. It'll go against it. It'll stand it. I'm trying to give you confidence. I'm trying to let you know you can live a Christian life. I'm trying to let you know that you can live godly in this evil, present and evil world we live in. Amen. I don't have to be associated with that. I'm not saying, I'm afraid too many times people think, preachers expect us to turn our back on that world and don't never leave the house and don't never go nowhere and don't never do this and don't never. But no, friend, listen to me. I'm trying to let us know that when we do have to go to Walmart, when you do have to go to your job, when you do go and visit somebody, your neighbor or your family, you can still be a Christian and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ can still shine in this dark, dying world that we live in. You may have to say no a few times. You may have to say, thank you, I appreciate your offer, but no, not interested. Not interested. I'll never forget my neighbor come down to my house one time. I've told this, he come down to my house and I was getting ready for church. And he's just talking about something, didn't really need nothing, just talking. And I walked down the porch, that's time of time, getting ready for church. His mama was with him. His mama says, come on now, we need to go. He's getting ready for church. And he says, I don't care if he's going to church. I said, and I don't care if he stands here while I'm going to church. Because I'm fixing to leave him. Sometimes I just say no. I say no. So now we see that. In this right here, he says, he gives a great list of all these things. He said, but we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am what? Persuaded. I believe it. I believe it. I believe, thank God, that He still saves sinners. I believe that He can rescue a sinner from the jaws of death, from the pit of hell. I believe that He can change a man. A man can be a drunkard. A man can be a dope addict. A woman can be a harlot. A man can be the same. I'm just saying God can change all of that. I am persuaded that He's able to do so. He's able. I'm persuaded. I know. I personally know. He can change our lives. He can turn us around. He can make us different than what we were. He can put us in a different direction. He can put joy in your life, a spring in your step, a song in your heart. I'm saying God can turn it around. I am persuaded. I'm persuaded, Brother Frank. Sister Amy, I'm persuaded. If He said it, we can believe it. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You think that covers everything, don't it? Wouldn't you think? Well, there's more. He said, in this case you think there's something else, nor height, nor death. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad He covered it all with death? Ain't you glad He didn't leave nothing out? Ain't you glad that He said, hey, for them sinners that the devil's going to go by after they got saved and try to let them know, try to make them think that I ain't never going to take care of them, that I've left them out here hanging out to dry. I want them to know that there ain't nothing way up there or nothing way down there that can get them away from me. Well, I'm in Him. He said, nor other creature. Wow. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in Him. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? Are you fully trusting this morning? Do you really believe? You know, before you can believe that the Lord will keep you, you've got to believe that the Lord has saved you. Before you ever believe that the Lord has saved you, you've got to believe that you had to be saved. You need to be saved. I've seen too many folks profess salvation, but live like the devil. And I'm thinking, what happened? How many of y'all remember Brother Mark McGahee preaching here? Brother, y'all remember him preaching? He said, what about y'all? Remember him talking about that? He said, what about y'all? This is an evangelist friend of ours. He said, what about y'all? He said, how come me and Brother Edward got ruined and y'all didn't? Remember him saying that, Brother Leo? How come we got in and y'all didn't? You know what will keep somebody from being a sold out, involved, 100% Christian man, woman, mother, father? You know what will keep that from happening? Not being fully persuaded on the necessity. Well, if I tell you this, you got a little boy. You got a little girl. There's a group of people out there that can't reproduce. But they want your children. Can I tell you something? You better be fully persuaded that they're in, because they might end up being one of them's friends. And they all ain't wearing lace.
I wish they'd all get back in the closet.
Amen.
Actually, what I really wish, don't get me tickled here now. What I really wish would happen, there was a king named Asa. You read about Asa? A-S-A. That would be pretty easy to remember. You know what he done whenever he took his position in his kingdom? He killed them all. He got rid of all of them. But that was just the ones that was in his kingdom. And as time went on, they slipped across the border from another kingdom. Because them kings wasn't like Asa. And now they're slipping across the border into Georgia. I'm fully persuaded that God despises it just as much today as He did back then. The real important thing is, here today, is this. If you're a mom or a dad, you better be fully persuaded that the most important thing that there is for your family, the very most important thing for your family, for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for your sons and for your daughters, is that they see the sincerity in your heart and in your life, in your home, for Christ to be exalted. For Christ to be exalted. For Christ to be exalted. If we don't lift Him up, nobody will know you're persuaded. That's why so many children come out of homes and when they get out there in that world, it's tough, I'm telling you, because they just didn't see it at home. And everybody's not leaders. We've got a row of young men. I would pray that they would all be leaders, that they'd none be followers. They'll follow the wrong crowd if they're followers. Years back, when I was a young person, I was not a leader. I was impressed with fast cars and big trucks. And when them old drunks is the one that owns them big trucks and fast cars, surely you know the rest of that story. That's not trying to tell them to be mean and despicable, hateful. Just say, look here, I'm persuaded, son. I'm persuaded, daughter. If you walk with God, He's able to, number one, keep His promise, and He's able, number one, to do what He said He could do. He which hath begun, I said it earlier, a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Some kids is going to grow up watching these. This little boy, if the Lord doesn't come back, this little boy right here is going to watch these young men right here. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I've got a picture in my office. And there's a whole row of young men that was in that picture. And I mean a minimal amount is still here. You see the necessity? You see the importance? Your knees. When was the last time your kid watched you pray? Heard you cry out their name. They'll be persuaded more about what they hear out of you than what they hear out of me. Pray over them, Brother Dustin. Let them know it's time to pray. Now, Hopefully he won't grow up and be like Josie. Josie said she don't like the Bible no more. It's too hard to understand. But she'll get over that. She'll get over that. At least she's got a Bible. She's introduced to. Them kids come stay at the house and they all want to pray every night. That blesses my heart. Blesses my heart. I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Thank God. Let's all stand together.